Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Ngorema, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my dear. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
The Lord is keeping me.
Oh, fantastic. Great to hear that. We're continuing to talk about the marriage and the family, which is the Adventist belief.
Thank you.
Now, God's plan for marriage is a union of a man and a woman in a committed lifelong partnership. Now, what God has joined together, let no man separate, it says in Mark 10:9. How do married couples attain the standard of a healthy lifelong relationship? And we want to actually understand this by the end of our discussion. Pastor, what are some of the biblical guidelines for a good marriage?
Oh, thank you for the good question. I think number one, don't be equally yoked. Mm. Yes, one is supposed to marry a person whose belief is similar to his or hers. Mm. Then another principle is marriage is for the adults. Yes, not for children. Yes, then it's for different genders between male and female, according to what you have said, as well as according to the Bible. Adam was male, Eve was female, and both are supposed to be humans, not between a human and an animal. And these are not supposed to be relatives. So these are some of the guidelines for a good marriage.
You're talking about do not be unequally yoked, and you talked about the beliefs, etc. Now, how important are faith and beliefs when it comes to a marriage? Let's actually delve deep into that. Why is the scripture saying do not be unequally yoked? I mean, one can believe in one thing and another can believe in another, and they still just love each other. So let's just delve deep into that. Why is it important that they should have similar beliefs?
It's a very important thing to consider when marrying someone. Same beliefs lessen challenges and lessen differences. Because as I see it, belief is something which is very fundamental in human lives, whether we believe in our cultures, our traditions, whether we believe in anything, but belief is something which is very fundamental to any human being. It lessens some frictions, because worship is very, very powerful. I think, as I see it, many wars under the sun, they are mainly hinged on beliefs. So it's important to marry someone whose beliefs are similar to yours. Because when the time of worship comes, there are no differences. You don't fight about it. Other areas can be managed very well, but on beliefs, it's a big challenge. Unless one decides to compromise to leave his or her beliefs and join his or her partner's beliefs, well, it will be fine. But if you want to stick to your beliefs, I think it's better you marry a person whose beliefs are similar to yours. Yes.
Yeah. Now, if the beliefs are not similar to yours, what are some of the examples of dangers that the couple could get into?
Generally, beliefs and conscience usually goes hand in hand.
Okay.
Yeah, you live the whole life with a guilty conscience, and it will eat you up. I can give an example of how dangerous it can be for one to believe someone of another belief. Let's take example of Ahab and Jezebel. There was no peace in Israel because of Ahab's marriage. Jezebel believed in something else. Ahab had his roots in the Lord, so there were some hiccups in the land of Israel because of an equal marriage which Ahab ended. So these are some of the challenges, and there's an element of manipulation. Yeah, for you to please your spouse, you're supposed to manipulate. If you want to maintain your beliefs, which beliefs are not accepted by your spouse, you use manipulation or force, you see. So that would cease to be a happy marriage.
Yeah, I also see a situation here, you know, in these people who are married. I'm just trying to think of an example. But now they've got a child or children, and the child gets very sick. And they go to the doctors, and the doctors are struggling. What could this scenario bring in this couple that is unequally yoked?
There is an element, they'll develop accusations. This other side will say your methods won't work. This one would say, well, is the time that made the child to die. So those people will start to what, to fight, and no one will accept the defeat of being accused. And if there is a thing which people want is to defend their gods or their god or their beliefs. So if you say my method has failed, I won't feel good. So I have to defend, even lying in order to defend my beliefs. So in that scenario, the one whose method seemed to have failed would be accused as someone who is bad and the root cause of the problem.
It's a big problem, because one would want to go to the traditional sangomas, and another would say, but let's pray to God. The other one would say, I don't believe in that God. I believe that my ancestors will do it. And then there's a conflict, the big conflict.
Very, 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 very true. In almost everything, if you want to plan something which is good, the other one will say, let's consult this one. Let's use this method. So the road won't be okay. You won't enjoy the journey of your marriage.
Quite sad. Now, is it a sin to marry to somebody who is not a believer or not an Adventist?
Yeah, quite interesting. It's an interesting question. In the Bible, what the definition for sin is breaking of the law, you see, and mainly basing on the Ten Commandments. And on the Ten Commandments, there is no way we can find where it is written, thou shalt not marry a non-Adventist. you can marry someone who is not an Adventist, but there are more disadvantages than advantages. Let me explain a bit on that one. It's only discouraged because it will compromise your principles. It will make you or it will create an artificial human being in you for you to please your spouse. So marrying someone who is not an Adventist is not a sin. It becomes a sin when you sin against God now. So if you marry someone who is not an Adventist, it's important that you maintain Adventism. If you are capable of doing that, well, it's okay, without forcing the other side, without using force on the other person, but it's discouraged to marry someone who is not of your denomination, of your faith, of your beliefs. That's how I understand it.
because it's a recipe for disaster, really.
You can say that again.
Now, yes. What if this couple is of the same, they are not believers, or they are not of the SDA faith, and then one converts and becomes a Christian? Is now the partner required to leave the spouse and find someone else who is, because, I mean, clearly now they are now not unequally, they are now unequally yoked because now another one has converted and has become a Christian. So should they now leave the partner who's now not a Christian?
It's another interesting question. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 1 going down almost the whole chapter, you'll encounter many points or some points which suggest we carrying such sentiments. Now, when two people are not Adventist and one is converted, the other one is supposed to be the light to the one who is yet to be converted. We are not supposed to divorce because God hates divorce. So it's about you now shedding light to the other spouse so that he will or she will see the Jesus whom you encountered. You are not supposed to divorce God. God hates divorce. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Now, there are young people who may be, listening to the show and thinking, my goodness, should I even get married? How do we encourage them then, Pastor, to marry right, if there's such a thing?
Okay. My suggestion or my advice to the young people is God first. God first, since he's the one who established marriage, is twice to make a mistake. If you used to pray once a day, you have to double your praying sessions. I know God won't betray you. And love is not supposed to be blind. Love is factual. You're supposed to use information in getting married. Because if you marry because of feelings, without being guided by principles, when feelings are gone, when reality comes into play, the chances of suffering are high. That would be, So God first to the young people, and I advise them to marry someone whom they know. Don't marry a stranger. A stranger is full of surprises. You have a lot to unlearn and to learn from the stranger. So that's where the verse which says don't be equally yoked comes in. Marry someone whom you know, some of your, the one who is your faith, of your faith, the one of your denomination. Yes, for example, if you are an Adventist, marry an Adventist. If you are a Catholic, marry a Catholic. If you are a Methodist, marry a Methodist. If you don't go to church, marry someone who don't go to church as well. That one will lessen friction and breakups and divorces because your foundation will be the same. That's my advice. And there are a lot of things to be considered before getting married because many young people, they marry to quench that sexual desire.
Wow. Quenching the sexual desires. It's an interesting part to to end it at, Pastor. And thank you so much for joining us. I think it's very important that one should just look for a partner that is in the same space. But hang on, here's a question that is remaining behind. If these people are both Adventist, they're both Christians, does it automatically mean they are of the same beliefs?
Okay, it's quite interesting. It's a very important question to take note. We are supposed to be wise like serpents and be calm like doves. We have, even in the church, people like Judas Iscariot, who pretend to be like sheep, yet they are wolves.
Mm.
So the spirit of discernment is needed. And that's the reason why we are supposed to get information about the person whom you like to settle with the whole of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it hurriedly, because there are people who join church to get married and get out of the church. And we have pretenders or hypocrites, and the hypocrites were the most hated people by Jesus.
Yeah.
He rebuked them several times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think someone is a true Christian by taking part in church, I think that would be a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a mistake. Even someone who is demon-possessed can participate in church programs, singing, preaching, and even taking positions and doing them perfectly. So those are not the signs that this person is a true Christian.
True.
There is more to that. So don't marry someone who is a church member who is not a Christian. Yeah. So I think it's important. We are supposed to take care of that one, especially on our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Even as parents, let's guide our kids, our daughters-in-law, our sons-in-laws. We are supposed to guide them in getting them. You see, our young people, we are supposed to guide them to get the rightful people.
Yes, yes. I think that's very important. We need to make sure that the young people are guided, are helped along the way. But, you know, we've got to pray also, because like Samson, maybe some may say, well, she pleases me well.
Sure.
And Samson, they end up on Delilah's thighs, and then all sorts of trouble will then follow after that. So, yeah, prayerfully guide them and pray that God will give them wisdom to listen to the advice of the elderly.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Because marriage is for the adults, and that being the case, after we have given, or after giving them enough information according to our knowledge as parents, after praying, these young people, they also make their personal decisions.
Mm.
So let's pray more that they'll make sober decisions in making choices, because some of the marriages will fail them to have eternal life.
Oh, yes.
And in this life, before getting to the eternal life, they will live in hell.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. Very, very important conversation there. And wishing you all the best for the afternoon. We speak to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you for inviting me on this program. Be blessed more. Let's keep on praying.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.